We are Transformation Church, where we represent God to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. Today's message is on release, where we are letting go of the things that hold us back and releasing every promise God has given us. We hope this podcast blesses you and leads you to a transformed life.
Hey, TC, Charles here. Man, we're celebrating 20 years of ministry, 4 years with our pastors, Mike and Natalie. And we thought it'd be really cool to sit down with pastors Mike and Natalie and our founding pastors, Bishop Gary and Debbie McIntosh, and just hear about all God's done in 20 years and really what he stands ready to do and the fact that we are just getting started. Now, some of you are thinking, Transformation Church, I just heard about Transformation Church. But there's actually a really amazing story of what God's been doing for a long time. So why don't you share just a little bit of that before Transformation Church?
Well, the thing we gotta know as a church is that we stand on the shoulders of people who sowed and believed way before any of us were here. Yeah. In 1999, Bishop Gary McIntosh and Pastor Debbie stepped out in faith, came to North Tulsa to start Greenwood Christian Center. And for 16 years, wow, they pioneered, sowed, built this amazing ministry that they were then felt led to hand over to me and Natalie 4 years ago. And February 1st, 2015, we became the senior leaders of a church in Charles. The thing that I really realized is we weren't starting something new. We were fulfilling something that had already been seen.
Well, it all started because he was traveling in ministry, and I was home with the kids, and so I just thought, I'm going to start a business. Yeah. So I got in the car to drive to Texas. My kids were asleep. I purposely went at night so I could pray.
Yeah.
Right as I was getting into Dallas and I could see the skyline, I heard the Lord just so distinctly, I want you to pray for your city. I just took a deep breath and said, Lord, okay. And I called a friend of mine who was a prophet. And so we'd meet every morning and we'd get the Tulsa newspaper and we would just pray the front page of the paper. So we're just praying up a storm.
Yeah.
And then
yeah,
one day the Lord said the second thing, and that was about starting the church.
I had just come out of years and years of starting a church and pastoring.
Yeah.
I was traveling on the road and having great success and enjoying it.
Yeah.
She said, I think I have a word from the Lord.
Yeah.
And she told me, and I said, where did he say?
What was that like, as you guys started to, you know, have that step of faith to obey God? I'm sure so many people were like, what? You're going out? What was that like?
Not one person was a word of encouragement.
Wow.
Not one.
Wow.
And then I knew enough about the North Side to know the challenges of it. And then I'm thinking, God, are you sure I'm the one to go to the North Side?
Yeah. Have you noticed lately?
Yeah, I don't think those people are gonna want me there.
Yeah.
It started in a house.
And then it moved to
First Street.
Yeah, with a bus inside of a building.
A bus inside of a building.
Couldn't get rid of it.
And then to this location that we're sitting in right now.
And what is it like to stand in a Transformation Church service now, knowing the history of all God has done?
When I walk in, I'm so privileged that I get to see legacy.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk about legacy.
Wow.
Some people, if they're fortunate enough, hand the baton over on their deathbed. Mm. And it's such an honor for us to watch it happening.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well, Transformation Church, man, it's 20 years all God has done, and it's so exciting to think that we're just getting started.
If this is our start,
if
this is the beginning of this new phase, this Transformation Church under our leadership, 5 years from now, I don't know what the heck is gonna happen 5 years from now, because I didn't see this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But we're ready.
Yeah.
We're ready to obey. We're ready to do whatever God says to do.
And that's so powerful. Well, I know on behalf of Transformation Church, we are so grateful for both of you guys. So TC, can we take right now and celebrate 20 years of ministry?
Come on.
4 years for our pastors, Mike and Natalie. Man, it is amazing to see all God has done. And the truth is, we're just getting started.
Amen.
Amen.
TC, we love you.
Transformation Church, can you get up on your feet at all services and help me welcome Pastors Michael and Natalie and Bishop Gary and Pastor Debbie McIntosh. Transformation Church, let's celebrate all that God has done. Hallelujah.
Hey, we just wanted to say
thank you so much. We know that it takes a lot. There's a lot of things that people probably haven't seen, conversations, prayers, and the Bible talks about making monuments to know what God has done. And so just to make a little token of our gratitude, we wanted to give you these framed copies of the magazine just as a moment to remember what God has done and know that there's so much more that God has to do. TC, can we celebrate our pastors?
Well, we just want to take this moment to thank God for what he has truly done. And I just need to make it very clear, we're not standing here if it was not for the faith, the service, the finances, and the vision of Pastor Debbie and Bishop Gary McIntosh. And today, I want you to know that nothing you do started with you. And today, we celebrate our founding pastors. Can we thank God for Bishop Gary? Oh, y'all can do better than that. Bishop Gary, Pastor Debbie, we love you. Bishop, will you just say something to the people real fast?
First of all, good morning. What a great day. Amen?
Amen.
You know, when I look back, we had two moments that we had to really hear the voice of God for this church. The first one was in coming to North Tulsa and starting a church. And my wife was the first one to hear, and she dragged me along. But I obeyed. And God really, really blessed. And the second time was when the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you are not the one to take the church to the next, which was a sobering word. And I had already had my eyes on Pastor Michael. Wow. And what a tremendous man of God. And he was so faithful in this house and grew in this house. And what a joy it was to hear God say, he's the one, pass the baton over. And we're here today. Look at what God's doing. Amen?
Amen.
God bless you. God bless you.
I just want to let everybody know that God's doing miracles. And I thank you for your faithfulness. And what, Bale? Tell them? Oh, excuse me, y'all. My daughter said that there was a miracle that happened and that she wanted to tell them. You want me to tell them the story from your school? Which one? Okay, I'll tell them. Bella said that her... in her class at school, this is unrelated, but I'm raising my child to know God, and so I'm gonna use every platform to be able to do this. She was in school, and she said her teacher told her that there was a blind lady that needed prayer, and her teacher prayed for her, and the blind lady could see. And she said, prayer works, Daddy. I told it good? Okay. But the only fact that I can do that is because prayer really does work. I didn't know when we stood here 4 years ago today if it was going to work. If Bishop was giving me the keys to a Ferrari that I was going to crash. But to stand here today and see that all God is doing, I just want to let you know this is a testimony that God can use anybody. That he can take a church where they said it would never be done. Where a white gentleman would come to the north side of Tulsa, take out off his shoes in the area where the worst race riot in 1921 happened. And he said, reverse the curse. And 16 years later, he would hand it to a wild black young man. And look around. This church looks like heaven. White, black, young, old. Come on, church. Let's give God praise for what he is doing at Transformation Church. You get all the glory. So today, I want you to join hands with everybody. Come on. Everybody standing, every service, join hands and let's lift them up. Because we're praying that God will give us another 20 years. That we're sowing seeds right now for people who aren't even here yet. So Father, I thank you, Father, that in every service and everybody who watches this back, I thank you that our faith is inspired. That we're not just a part of a moment, but we're a part of a movement. And God, it's the faith of those who came before us, and it's the faith of those who are here now that are going to leave a legacy in the earth for those to come. We declare that the best days for Transformation Church are in front of us, and we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise in Jesus' name. If you have faith to believe it, can you celebrate? Oh, come on. Let's give God a shout of praise. Hallelujah. We love you guys. Hey, high five three people and say, we did that. We did that. Like, come on, this is us together. We did that. So thankful for what God is doing. I love you, Bella. All right. Anybody excited to be in the house of God this morning? Yo, I'm emotional right now. I'm emotional. And I'm not usually emotional, but I'm real emotional. Just, you know, I stood in this platform when wasn't a lot of people here, and God told me to declare some things. He said, stand and declare this day 4 years ago that this would be a multi-generational church, a multi-ethnic church, a multi-campus church, and a multiplying church. And at the time, we were none of those things. And today, as I look around, as I know there's tens of thousands of people watching this online, y'all, I just want you to know that God will use the most unlikely people to do the most amazing things. Don't rely on what you know. Rely on who you know. And when you rely on who you know, God will do things that only He can get the glory for. If you're excited to be a part of Transformation Church, can we give God one more shout of praise in this place? Oh, come on! All right. I'm gonna try to keep it together. Let me put my glasses back on. Good morning, Transformation Church. I'm so excited for what God is about to do today. If you're joining us in one of our other services or watching on the rebroadcast, we are excited because today we are celebrating 20 years of ministry and 4 years of me and Pastor Nat being the lead pastor, and look what God has done. We are so excited because we're just getting started, and we are in part 5 of a series that we're calling Help Me Release. This is the year of release. We believe that God has come very clearly and said, I want you to gather everybody's faith around this one word, and I'm going to unpack it all year, but this is a year of freedom and deliverance for people. This is going to be a year where you will not carry around the same bondages that you've been carrying around for the past decade. This will not be a rerun of last year if you will allow God to release in your life. And so God began to say, he said, Michael, this is the year that I'm going to release my people, my children, from the place of bondage. And I don't know what your bondage is. I don't know what you've been tied to. I don't know what you've been dragging along all of your life. But God said, this is the year of release. And I need somebody to get the faith, because a lot of people in this room, you've been so familiar with your issue that you think it's a part of you. And God said that I did not create you to carry that for the rest of your life. It's the year of release. And he said, I don't want to just release you from the place of bondage. I want to release you from the perspective of bondage. Because how many know you cannot be in a place but still think like you are? And a lot of people aren't in poverty anymore but still have a lack mentality. A lot of people aren't in perversion anymore but still have thoughts that keep them tied to that. And I'm here to tell you that this is the year of release. And the last part of that, God said, is this is going to be the year that I release you into. Everybody say into. Into. Come on, help me. Say into. Into. This is the year he's releasing us into the promise of our blessing. God does not want us to stay in the same place, but he wants us to progress forward. So when we heard that, and I'm encouraging you, go back and watch every message that we've done this year. It will set the trajectory for the rest of this year for your life, your business, your family, because this is the year of release. So if God's going to release, then that means we have a part to play, because God only can do something on the earth through people. And so he wants us to be able to begin to release. So the past few weeks, we've talked about the releases we're going to do. The first release we said is, you know what? We're going to let God free in our life. See, because there's a lot of areas that we'll be like, God, you can touch that, but not that. Because this is my protection mechanism. This anger, y'all know everybody got that line that if you cross the line, you just black out. You don't know what I'm going to do after that. God said, I need you to let me touch that this year. I need you, that insecurity that's been there since you were a young child, let me into that. And this is the year that God's saying, okay, y'all, you're going to have to work with me. Let me free in your life. And as a church, we've made a decision that our faith is whatever God wants to touch in our life, it's for our betterment anyway. So God, the thing that I've been holding back from you, I'm giving it to you. The thing that I've been trying to keep secret from my family and my wife and my friends, here it is, God. It may be messy, but it will cause me to experience a miracle. And I'm here to tell you, church, that we have to release. So that's the first thing. We got to let God free in our life. And then we said, you know what? We got to stop holding the things that have held us to our past. And many of us, the pain of your father leaving you, you have held that for so long, and God says he's not even here anymore. It's time to release. Well, God, they didn't deserve to do that to me. He said, no, they didn't. But I'm the only one that can take a burnt up situation and make something beautiful. I think the scripture says it like this. I give beauty for ashes. And God said, I don't know what you've been holding that's been hindering you, but this is the year of release. And it's time for us to stop holding those things. This last one that I'm going to talk about today, I'm so excited about, because I believe this is the place where God gets a lot of glory out of our life. The last release that I believe God is going to do and asking us to participate in is making it public. Write that down. Make public. Because I really believe that God wants to make what he's doing in our life a public spectacle for his glory. And now I know this is a problem for some of you who think that God wants to deal with you in the dark room and then act like you came out as beautiful as you are. And I know this has been a mentality in church for a long time that somehow we came out like this. But what God is saying is I want you to start sharing what I'm doing in your life, not when it's over, but while it's happening. Yep, I'm gonna come over here because some of y'all still trying to get the concept. What I'm telling you is you still may have a broken area and God's gonna say, tell it. Make it public. Well, Pastor, that doesn't make physiological or mathematical sense because shouldn't I be completely free from the thing and walking 10,000 feet away from it and be totally transformed? This is the process of progression, not perfection. And there are too many people that walk into churches, and I heard people even say this, and it breaks my heart. I'd be like, man, you should come to church. It's like, there's some things I need to work out first. There's some things I need to get together, and once I get them things together, Pastor Mike, then I'm gonna be at church. Hold on. It's been 40 years of you trying to get it together. If you could have got it together, you would have got it together. The church is the hospital for humanity. If you're broken, if you're hurting, if you're lost, if you're jacked up, if you're confused, if you don't know your sexual orientation, if you don't have a clue why you're here, you're supposed to come to the hospital where we have the great physician. And he's the one that can be able to meet every one of your needs. But that means we have not been doing a good job making public what God's doing in our life. Because a lot of us, we look down on people who are going through issues when the truth is you still in your issue. And God said, Michael, I want you to change Transformation Church from a consuming church to a commissioned church. We will not sit here and not make public what God's doing in our life. Can I help you? That's why the Bible says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus did. But guess what? You got a part to play in it. You got to make it public. And the words of our testimony. When's the last time you told somebody what was really going on? When's the last time that you said, you know what? I've been dealing with pornography for a long time, but I'm 13 days free from it. And church people will be like, that's nothing to celebrate. You ain't even made it a month. I've been chained to that for years. And the Bible tells me the way I overcome is by the blood of the Lamb and the words of my testimony. Forget that it ain't your testimony, but it was day 13 and I'm going to tell it. And now I overcome. And day 14, I'm going to make it public. And now, oh, y'all better hear me in this place. Some of your bondages have been able to stay there because you won't make it public. You have not, everybody say, released. And God said, this is the year where I want you to use everything that you feel like nobody should know as a platform for my power to be seen. I'ma do things with you with your underqualified self, with your underdeveloped self, with your unsure self. If you'll let me use it, I'll use you, your family, your ideas as a billboard to bring me glory. Somebody shout at me, release. And so when I think about this concept, That means many of us are going to have to come out of our comfort zone, and we're going to have to be transparent and not just honest. See, transparency means that you're offering up what God is doing in your life, or offering up when you messed up. Honesty is telling the truth when somebody asks you the question. And the truth is, most nobody has anybody asking them the right questions. And this is a church, I know this is gonna make some people uncomfortable, like, but I'm telling you, we're trying to see this thing run for another 20 years. And the world, the thing they can't stand is us. They want our Jesus, but they can't stand us. And the reason is because many times we make them feel like we were born like this, born reading scriptures, born loving our wife. Your wife get on your nerves. Like, but you won't make it public that you're in marriage counseling. Because somehow you saying that you need help makes you less of a man or less of a woman. But it's time for us to identify with people's humanity and then take it to the one who controls eternity and be able to be a church that can identify so that God can get glory. Somebody say release.
Release.
That means we're gonna have to make it public, y'all. And the reason I say that is because I'm leading the way. That's why I can't get up here any Sunday and preach something that God's not doing in my life. Because the reason I tell y'all that I was addicted to pornography every Sunday, because every Sunday I say that, that's how I overcome. I've been free from stuff because I make it public. People are like, you real, pastor, you real. And the thing is, I got to be real or I'll be real bound. Like, if I'm just trying to help somebody. If we're really talking about being released, if I'm not real with it, then I'll be real bound. And so we started that in our church as a core value of being hot, humble, open, and transparent. We say we have a hot culture. And I'm trying to bring that to another level in our church, because I know many of you are new, and many of you come from places, churches, from new converts, or you've been in church for a lot of years, and you just come and you sit, and you're like, oh, Pastor Mike, you did a great job today, and God bless you. We'll be back 2 weeks from now. And if that's been you, you're going to be very uncomfortable in this church in this next season. Because what is about to happen as we end this series, this is a vision series, and I've focused most of this series on what God's going to do in your life, but I got to move this to what God's going to do through us. Everybody say, through us. Not just the church as an organization, but you as an organism. What God wants you to do is go into your area of influence and represent him to the lost and found for transformation in Christ. That is our vision, to represent God to the lost and found for one reason. What is it? Transformation in Christ. And until you go into the entertainment industry and represent God, there's somebody who will not be transformed in Christ until you go into education. They're not going to hear Pastor Mike. I'm here to equip you, and you are supposed to go into the welding industry and be able to represent God. You are supposed to go in the sports arena and entertainment and represent God. And that's why I have a whole new passion right now to make public all that God is doing through this church, through my life, and through your life, because through that, we're going to see God transform so many people's lives. One of the ways that we do that as a church, as 4 years ago when I became the lead pastor, one of the first things we did is we said we're going to be completely transparent about everything. And so we made a magazine called The Transpire. And the Transpire magazine is something that everybody's going to get a copy of today when you leave here. And if you're watching online, you can download it on the app or on the website. But look at Pastor Barbara looking all good on the magazine. Look at her. We're a multi-generational church. She's 60-something plus in her crop top. And she's single. All right, just a plug. And she a cougar. So get in where you fit in. All right. Trying to get people married up in here. Anyway, what I'm saying is, when we started doing this magazine, we put everything in here. Every dollar and dime that comes in this church, we put it in this magazine. For anybody to see. Everything that we gave in mission dollars, everything. Why? Because one of the things that we have to do is we got to make public what God's doing, even if it's on a small scale or if it's on a large scale. And I don't have time to go through all the amazing things that God did in 2018. But there's a few things that I want to tell you of how transformation in Christ happened this year. One of my favorite numbers is 396. Everybody say 396. Now, this is the time where you get to celebrate. 396 people got baptized in Transformation Church this year. Transformation Church, can we give God? Oh, are y'all not happy about transformation in the building? Let's give God praise. Now, Charles, I see what type of church we have. We have a few people who understand that this ain't for you. And we got a lot of other people that think that this is also they can consume. The problem is we have a lot of obese Christians that it's all about us eating. Give me more word. I want a new word. Give me a new word. But we're not sharing what God has given us. And today, we're shifting. We celebrate not 3 million people butts in seats. We celebrate transformation in Christ. 396 people decided, I'm done with my old life, and I'm coming up new. Can we give God praise for what he's doing through your faithfulness, through your giving, through your testimony, through what God is doing through us? Come on, high five three people, say, we did that. We did that. Come on, we did that. Why are you saying we did that, Pastor Mike? Because it was the family members you invited. It was the people you sent the link to. It was the money that you gave so that when somebody decided to get baptized, we had drawers, shirts, towels, socks. They had no excuse. We did that. And I just believe that's the beginning. Let me tell you another one of my favorite numbers. Oh, this is so crazy. At the end of the year, we gather and we get our faith together to be able to give in an offering. And you're going to say, Mike, how is that a number of transformation in Christ? Because we understand that where your treasure is, your heart goes there as well. And I've been teaching this, and I've been believing that God would make us into a generous church. And so, this is so crazy. A year ago, I was corrected in my numbers from the first service. A year ago, when we did our end of the year offering, this year we called it Tabernacle, and last year it was Legacy, when we did it, $39,000 came in for our offering. And I celebrated that like it was $39 million. Because when you're doing the work of God and anybody obeys, you're excited because somebody was believing. So $39,000 came in last year for our end of the year offering. This year. Everybody say this year. Oh, my gosh. Y'all, I'm so emotional because you never know when you step out on faith if people will believe with you. And we said, we know we need another building. We know we need to expand. We know we need to get things so that this message can go out further. And y'all, in this one Tabernacle offering, the reason it's taken me 5 weeks to tell you, because y'all like, Pastor, tell us already. Some of y'all saying that right now. Nope. The reason I waited is because every week I went back to get the number, people were still giving. And people kept giving. And people kept giving. I said, I'm just going to have to tell them because I don't know if people are going to stop giving. Transformation Church, get ready to celebrate. Because through your obedience, through your sacrifice, through what we did together in our Tabernacle offering, Transformation Church, you gave 1,178,458.54. And what am I? Oh, come on, y'all. Let's give God praise in this building. You're worthy, God. High five three people, say, we did that. Come on, high five them. We did that. Yo, Pastor Mike, why are you celebrating that? It's not the number. is that God has spoken to people and they obeyed. Transformation Church, God has our heart. And when he trusts that he has a heart, he can give us more. Because this ain't money to give us gold chairs and we're about to partner with all type of organizations around the city to release people from sex trafficking, to release people from bondage of poverty, to release people who are coming back into real world after being in penitentiary. Oh, y'all better hear me. We're going to help. We're going to help release churches. We're going to help. Everybody shout, release. We did that. So we can see more people released. Let me tell you the most exciting number. And some of y'all are like, did I come just to hear you give a report? We're trying to be the living word. A lot of people read word, speak word, don't live word. And I decided that we would be a church that represents God to the lost and the found for one reason. What is it? Transformation in Christ. My favorite number is the reason this church exists, to see people not changed for a moment, but see their eternity changed. And transformation in Christ are people being saved or accepting and acknowledging that Jesus Christ is Lord. It's not a thing about them being righteous. They're made righteous because they put their faith in Jesus. And y'all, from online and in the building in the year 2018, 9,448 people gave their life to Christ. If you don't celebrate anything else, celebrate that. Eternities have been changed. Families have been turned around. Transformation in Christ has come. Come on, church. Let's give God praise right there. That's significant because those aren't just numbers. Those are people. Like, think about 9,448 people with stories and names and past and hurts, finding out that God loves them beyond their fault. And this is the crazy thing. Because many times we don't understand our why. We celebrate a number, but the number are people. They're people like Nicole and Carell. This is our why. They got in a car last Saturday because they've been watching Transformation Church online. And they've been in a season in their life where they really needed God to do something. God started reaching out to them through our online ministry, and they heard that we were baptizing people. They live in Virginia, drove 19 hours with their daughter to come to Transformation Church last Sunday and be baptized as a married couple. They said that our marriage is new, the old has passed away. Oh, if y'all want to celebrate, we're talking about a life-giving church that makes a difference. This is our why. This is why we gotta make it public. This is why we invite people. This is why we tell people, because somebody's transformation is on the other side of our obedience. Our why is people like Matt and Tiffany. Matt had a hard year last year, and he lives in Lansing, Michigan. And God began to speak to him through our messages. And let me help you. It's because of the giving of people like you that we were even able to have cameras. And you're like, what is the money for the cameras have to do with anything? It leads to transformation in Christ. He was so ashamed to go to a church, so he just started watching us online. It moved his heart so much that one day he just told his wife, I gotta go. And she was like, where are you going? She said, to Tulsa, Oklahoma. She said, what? She said, I'll explain it to you later. He got in his car and drove from Lansing, Michigan to sit in a service. He sat in a service and he said God met him sitting right over here in the service. He was so impacted that he drove back that day, packed his wife up, and they came back the next week. They were so impacted that they went back, they got their children and brought them back the next week. For 4 weeks in a row, they drove back and forth from Lansing, Michigan, because what we were doing here was transforming their life. I'm glad to report to you that God spoke to them that this wasn't just supposed to be a commute. This was their new home. They were in the last service with all of their family. Oh, and they just moved to Tulsa and got in their house last week. This is our why. This is why we serve. This is why we give. This is why we pray. This is our why. And I know it's hard because some of us have never been a part of anything bigger than us. But I'm giving you an opportunity to not just be a part of a consuming church, but be a part of a commissioned church. That's only two stories out of probably 20,000 I could pull. But I'm telling you, there's somebody else on the other side of your yes. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? It's time for us to make public what God's going to do through your life and in this church. Let me help you. Because some of y'all are like, that was a great speech, but I need some Bible. Okay. Turn with me right here to 1 Kings chapter 18. I'm going to the Kings today. Okay. I really feel like this whole making it public thing is very important. Because the reason why God wants to make public in your life what he's doing is because he wants other people to see his miracle working power. Like he's not looking for perfect vessels, he's looking for vessels to be used. So all of your disqualifications are the things that qualify you. Now, I'm gonna say it again. Everything that you think disqualifies you qualifies you to God. And he's looking for his power to be on display. So I'm gonna just tell you a story real quick. And I'm gonna have to paraphrase this so you can understand it. But I wanna give you the title, because some of y'all are like, okay, how am I gonna make public what God's doing? And I wanna give you the mechanics to making it public. The mechanics to making it public. See, because there are ideas and businesses and deliverances and freedoms on the inside of you. And you're like, I don't even know where to start to tell somebody about what God's doing. I'm going to give you the mechanics today, but I'm going to do it through a story that happened in 1 Kings. Let me paraphrase it for you. A prophet Elijah, God spoke to him because there was a famine in the whole land. And God said in 1 Kings chapter 1, he said, get up and I want you to go tell Ahab that I'm about to make it rain. Ahab was a bad king at the time because he had different idols than God. And so what he said is that I'm about to make it rain. I want to do something in the land, and I want to do it for people, but I need them to know that I am God. And it's so crazy. This whole story is about people who placed idols on their heart other than God. And I ain't coming at you right now, but my only question is, what's sitting on the throne of your heart? Because if it's anything other than God, the thing that you have to realize is at some point, there's going to be a showdown. And either what you've been serving and sowing and giving to is going to be your God. Or Jehovah Jireh, our provider, the Lord who reigns on high, is going to be your God. And so I just want to set this picture. This is like an old Western showdown right here. And it's going to happen at Mount Carmel. And they say, call everybody out. Wow, wow, wow. And like, this is what's happening. And what they said was, hey, I'm one prophet, and I want you to bring everybody you think can summon your God, Baal, because they were serving Baal at the time. And it's okay. I know you don't serve Baal, but you might serve money, and you might serve sex, and you might serve pride. And so whatever your God is, that's the thing that's about to go against God today. Yeah, I'm coming for you. And they said, let's meet at Mount Carmel, and let's have a showdown. And I want you to look at it in verse 20. It says, so Ahab sent for all the children of Israel and gathered prophets together on Mount Carmel. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal is God, follow him. This is what God is saying to you. If I am God, for real, follow me. If money is God, follow it. See how far that gets you. See how long that's going to sustain you. This is the thing where God is saying, for me to make my power known in your life, you got to be connected to me. And so the people, look what it says. But the people answered him not a word. This is why God needs our church more than ever right now, is because people are confused. They want God, but they see what the world offers. And they're confused. They're not saying a word. They're waiting for God's power to be revealed through a regular person just like you so that they can say, that's God. No. How he healed their marriage, that's God. How he took them from that place of disparity, that's God. And I want to serve that God. And that's why God's saying, I want to use you. Everybody say, release. This is what he wants to do in your life. It said, then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left as the prophet. It's about 450 of y'all. So let's cut up two bulls and let's choose one bull and then we'll cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood, but don't put any fire under it because your God should be able to answer this situation by fire. And I know my God can answer this situation by fire. So let's see whose God is really God. Verse 24, then you call on the name of your God. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So the people said, bet. They didn't really say bet. It said, it is well spoken. But in my mind, it was like, bet. Like, now Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, choose the bull. Verse 26. So they took the bull, which was given them, and they prepared it, and they called on the name of Baal from morning even till noon, saying, oh, Baal. Hey, baby, baby, Baal. Baal, hear us. Hear us. But there was no voice and no one answered. Then they leaped about the altar that they had made. So they didn't just go from singing. They did choreography. Oh, Baal, oh, Baal, oh, Baal, hell, answer Baal. Like they were trying to get an answer. But isn't it funny how we start doing things and trying to express our love to something that can never fulfill us? I don't even got time. So it was noon now. They've been doing it since the morning. Now it's noon. Then Elijah mocked them saying, hey, y'all, I got an idea. Why don't you cry a little louder? He's God, you know what I'm saying? He's busy. Y'all didn't get on his schedule today. Maybe he's meditating. Or maybe he's busy like being God for somebody else. Or, I got it, he's asleep. Y'all need to be an alarm for him. And he's just mocking them. So they cried aloud, and then they start doing some stupid stuff. They start cutting themselves, as was their custom. What? Why? Now, I ain't serving no God that make me cut myself. But it's funny we say that now, but we'll serve gods that put us in harm. Like, that was their custom to cut themselves, but your custom may be to lie to cover your God. Your custom may be to do something else. Your custom, and what God is saying, he's like, I need you to know that everything that you're doing to try to prepare a way for your God, it's not going to work, or the idol that's on your heart, it's not going to work anyway. And it says, and midday passed, and then they started prophesying. I speak to the winds in the name of Baal. And I say, you bring fire. And this is something that's very special because everybody doesn't prophesy. A lot of people prophesy. This thing was never about to happen because they were tapped into a power source that was impotent. It could not produce for them. And my question is, how many of us are so tied to a power source that can't produce for us? Okay, let me go back. It said, but there was no voice, no one answered, and no one paid attention. Then Elijah came and said to the people, come near to me. This is the beautiful thing of why God has connected you to Transformation Church and why God is giving you the commission to make it public on your job, in your sphere of influence. It's because the world has been watching something that has not worked for years. These people spent all day watching something not work. And we're literally seeing this right now. The government not working, literally. Like everything, like all of these things not working. And we're not going to have to pump and prime like, hey, try Jesus. All we're going to have to do is like Elijah. Y'all come over here. Because when you know who's on your side, when you know it's not you, the reason the business is going to succeed is because God's using that as a platform to change somebody else's life. The reason your marriage will be restored is because God's going to use that as a platform to change somebody else's life. You're not going to have to pump and prompt. You just say, come over here. And look what the response was. So all the people came near to him, and he repaired the altar that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, that's order, and according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, to whom the word of the Lord had come, saying, Israel shall be your name. Then with the stones, he built an altar in the name of the Lord. Who did he build the altar in the name of? I want you to understand what God's about to promote in your life, what he's about to make public. Make sure you're not building it for your name. Make sure you're building it for his name. The reason that God was going to do a miracle is because he built this altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench around the altar large enough to hold 2 bundles of seeds. And he put the wood in order, cut the bull in pieces, laid it on the wood and said, fill 4 pots with water and pour it in the burnt sacrifice on the wood. Now he's showing out. Because statistics will tell us, like if you have a dry piece of wood, it could probably catch on fire quicker. But Elijah was so confident in the God that he served that he said, I'm going to dig a trench around this thing, and I'm going to do the opposite of what you're supposed to do right here. Pour water on it. Hold on, what? No. We're trying to make it light on fire. Water puts out fire. God said to me through this, he said, Michael, what people think is the disadvantage for them is the very thing that's going to prove that I'm God. You're going to be in a disqualified situation, a situation where the water has already been poured on it. And God says, I don't want you to look at the situation where the water has been poured on it and think that I'm not still going to answer by fire. They gave you a notice that you could not get the loan. God said, they just poured water on it, and I'm still about to show up. They gave you a notice that you couldn't come to the north side of Tulsa and start a church that would be ethnically diverse. That was just a little water that they poured on it. I feel the power of God in this place. They told us that when we transitioned the church, that the church would go down and nobody would come. There's not a grocery store within 10 miles of this place. All they did was pour some water on it. Because the miracle that God's about to do in your life and what he's doing in this church, it don't matter how soaked the situation looks. It doesn't matter how wet it looks. It does not matter what has happened. God is going to answer by fire. Will you give God some praise in this place? I feel this thing. Because some of y'all been so discouraged because your situation looks so. We serve the God who answers by fire. Y'all got me too hyped. Some of y'all are sitting looking at drenched situations right now. Your marriage is drenched. The trust was broken a long time ago. God said, I'll rebuild this altar. I'll change this thing. But you gotta let me free in it. You gotta let go of the past. And you gotta make public what I'm about to do in your life. Look at it. Verse 36. It says, and I want you to realize that they didn't pour water on it once. He had them come back and pour water on it 3 times and said, I know God's about to perform a miracle, because I think there's a scripture that says something like this. If God be for me, then who? Everybody just lift your hands like that and just say, who? No, I need you to do it. Don't say it in your bass voice. I need you to say it in the higher questioning octave. Say, who? Like, that's what some of y'all need to believe now. That even though it's a situation that looks bad, that because God is on your side, Bring them out, bring them out. Oh, who's gonna stop the plan of God for this church? Who's gonna stop the plan of God for your marriage? Who's gonna, if God is for you? And see, this is the faith that you have to walk in when you're making it public. God's about to use this for a platform. Look what he does. Oh, I feel this thing. And it came to pass at the time of the offering for the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known or make it public. I'm doing this in front of everybody so God can get glory. Huh? He said, this day that you are God. We're going to let it be known that you are God. And in Israel, I am your servant. Write this point down. This is the mechanics of making it public. Making it public is always the plan. God never means for you to go through something that you'll never tell somebody else. And I know that scares a lot of y'all. Be like, but what? No, 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 no. No, no, no. It came to take you out, but it's going to work for your good. But God can't use it if it's a secret. And so it was his plan all the time. How do we know it was his plan all the time? Because God is a generational God. He starts off by saying, this is the God of Abraham, who he made public a spectacle in his life because he couldn't have no children, but he told him he would be a descendant of many nations. And it was at 100 years old when his wife's womb was dusty. Do you hear what I'm saying? That God allowed for a miracle to come out of that. So he said, I did it for the generation before. And he said, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac. I did it for him. And I'm the God of Jacob. This is what I'm saying to you. We serve the God of Bishop Gary and Pastor Debbie. And they had 20 years in the game. And now we're serving the same God of Pastor Mike and Pastor Natalie. And we're going to serve. My daughter will be able to stand and say that I watch my grandparents and my parents. God is a cyclic God. He wants to do the same thing. You remember the song we sang? He's doing it again. This is the cry of people who have faith. If you've seen it before, if you heard it before, the Bible says eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered into the hearts of man, the things that God has planned for those who love him. What I'm telling you is it's been 20 years, but making it public and us going to the world, it was God's plan from the very beginning. Look at the next part. Making it public is not about my ascension, but my association. See, remember what he said. He said, you are God in Israel, and I'm your servant. It was the association, not his ascension. And so many people are worried about getting more Instagram followers or being famous and being able to make impact. And God said, no, 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 I can't give you that because you'll lose the association when you get the ascension. So I'll take you up, and you'll forget to pray. Like I'll promote you, and you won't promote me no more. And God says, I want to send you into areas of entertainment, and I want you to know that when you ascend, don't forget about your association. I'm here to represent God in this place because I'm his servant. You invite me to government, I'm here to represent God in this place because I'm his servant. If I go into the movie industry, hello, I am here to represent God because I'm his servant. What I'm saying is there's many of you that God wants to make what he's placed on the inside of you public. He wants to use your testimony to go around the world. He wants to use you to affect your cul-de-sac. Forget the whole world. Talk about the four houses that God placed you around. And he said, but I can't do it if I ascend you and you lose your association with me. Okay? So I'm trying to give you the mechanics. The next point, I want you to see it. Making it public is not... I want you to see that making it public should have an eternal motive. Look at verse 37. Look what he says. He says, hear me, O Lord. Hear me. This is the reason. This was his motive. That the people may know that you are Lord and God and that you have turned their hearts back to you again. What I'm saying is, I believe God wants to make the visions and the dreams that he's placed in your heart. I think he wants to take it public. I think he wants to release you this year. Some of y'all have witty inventions and ideas. Some of you have had business smarts. Some of you have ways that families can be reconciled and healed. God wants to, everybody shout at me, release!
Release.
He wants to release. But what you got to realize is when he blows it up, it's so that people can find him. He wants to use the platform he gave you for you to give them the eternal life that they need. I'm telling you right now, everything that God's doing in this ministry and me and Pastor Natalie's personal life, I sat at a table with a famous athlete's sports agent last week. I didn't even know. When I woke up that morning, I did not know it would happen. And if I started calling names, y'all would be like, oh, for real? Can I get his autograph? No. But as I left that table, God said, Michael, I'm about to make you a secret agent in places that people like you have never been able to get into. Because they wanted them for their money, or they wanted to take a picture with them, or they wanted to show other people that they're cool. And God says, I want you to do none of that. He said, I'm sending you on assignment for eternal purposes. Hear what I'm saying to you. If you want to allow God to really make public all that he wants to do in your life, your motive has to be like, God, bless me. Bless me indeed. But so that I can get people to you. And that's why Elijah was about to see one of the biggest miracles of his day. Let me tell you how it all shakes out. It comes down and it says, then, verse 38, the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. It burnt up the dust. Have you ever seen dust burn? It was wet. It was a disadvantaged situation. But because the motives were right, the connection was right, and because it was God's plan all along, when he called on God, he answered by fire, and he consumed everything. I love the language. Look at the next word. It said, and it licked up the water that was in the trench. It licked it up. Literally, anything that was wet, the fire of God took it out. What God's saying is he's going to perform miracles in our life if you allow him to make it public, that nobody will be able to deny that it was God. Look what happened. Look at the result. Verse 39. Now, when all the people saw it, nobody had to do an altar call line. Nobody had to say, see, guys, I told you, God is so good. Hallelujah. None of that had to happen. It said when they saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The miracle that God is about to release in your life, I believe people who see it are going to stand and say, it only could have been God. The Lord, he is God. Come on, help me. The Lord, he is God. When he sees your relationship restored, people are going to fall on their faces and say, because of that situation, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. When they watch how a man came here 20 years ago and took off his shoes in North Tulsa, and God said, reverse the curse. He handed the church over to an unpolished 28-year-old. And now 4 years later, we're impacting the entire world. The only thing I can stand here and say is, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, say it with me. He is God. Somebody give God praise in this building. Y'all better come on. If you know that we serve the Lord that answers by fire. This is the year of release. And God says, I want to make it public. Will you let me do a miracle that'll leave your family who doubted you saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Sit down for one more second. Because I want you to write this point down, because some of you, this is going to carry you the rest of this year. Making it public will manifest miracles. If you'll allow God to use your mess ups, your defaults, your hurts, your pains, your issues, your shortcomings. And you'll get accountable and you'll allow God to work on your heart. He will take everything that you'll make public and he'll manifest the miracle. Pastor Mike, why are you so hype about this? Because as I was praying through this word release when I was in Chicago earlier this year, God told me something very specific. And he said, Mike, I want you to do something that's going to make you step out on faith. And you don't really got no business doing this. But I'm about to use this to get glory. So I said, what do you want me to do, God? You want me to put some more Instagram content out there? You want me to write a book or, you know what I'm saying, make it public through a book? I said, no. I want you to do something that you thought was years away. And it's time for what God's doing at Transformation Church to be made public. It's time for what God is doing in our church for us to allow other people to be blessed, healed, and learn from it. Well, Pastor Mike, we just started. And God said, that's why it's going to be a real miracle. Because this is not about perfection. This is about what? Progression. So Transformation Church, I'm so excited to let you know that he gave me the date and everything. September 10th, 2019, we will be doing our first ever Transformation Conference 2000. And oh yeah, come on y'all, celebrate with me. Yeah. Yo, check this out. We're inviting the entire world and we're about to make it public what God is doing here. We've already rented out the Maybe Center. And we're, y'all thought we was gonna do it here? We rented out the Maybe Center. And we're believing that thousands of people on September 10th through the 12th, people from Transformation Nation coming from the Caribbeans and London and Australia and Illinois and California, they're gonna come and we're gonna empower them to represent God to the lost and found for one reason. What is it? Transformation in Christ. And let me say this very clearly. This is not a church conference for our church. It's not for us. This is a church conference from our church. The reason I need you to get in serving positions, the reason why I need your leadership to be released, the reason why I need you to get in small groups and get accountable, the reason that I need you to start serving every week is because God is giving us a humongous opportunity to not just be spectators of the move of God, but participate in it. I believe that when we set this moment, that the God who answers by fire is going to meet us September 10th through the 12th, and people's lives will be radically changed forever. And I'm telling you that this is a step of faith for me. We could be comfortable. We could stay here. We could do nothing. We could act like God's doing amazing things, and we just stay real comfortable. But it's about to be a showdown. I believe that people are going to come who don't believe in God. I believe people from the entertainment industry, from the governmental sector, from all, they're gonna come and they're gonna see, let's see if God really shows up. And because of the faith of a group of people that are in this room, we serve the God who answers by fire. And he is going to answer us and meet us in that place. I'm so hype about this. I just want you to check out, just get hype with me. Check out this promo for Transformation Conference 2019. Check it out right now. Turn it up. Transformation Church, can we give God praise for that? Thank you, Lord. Everybody standing. I told you this was a vision series. We can't tell you anything that we're not leading you in. Some of you, we got 7 months to get everything together because we're going public. God is saying, write the vision. Make it plain. So that write it in big, bold letters so that others can read it on the run. Lift your hands all over this place. I want to pray that God, whatever he has on you, he'll release that thing. Father, I thank you for every person that's in this service, that's watching in the 1 o'clock, every person, Father God, who's in the 4 o'clock, in the 6 o'clock, that there is a release coming to our lives, Father. That you are going to make public those things that have been on the inside of us, and you are going to release them to the world. But Father God, let us know that this was your plan. Father, let us remember, Father, that this isn't for our ascension, but it's because we're associated with you. And Father God, thank you right now, Father God, that as you do the miracle, it's all for your glory. I thank you that you're raising up people who have faith to believe you. And you'll take a situation that looks drenched, and you will answer by fire. We have the faith to believe you, and we give you glory, and we give you honor, and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Come on, church, let's shout unto God. Oh, if you believe it, that this is the year of release. Hallelujah. The reason I'm so passionate is because it always ends in transformation in Christ. If you're in this room and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you the opportunity to make the greatest decision of your life. It's the decision that changed me from somebody who is not a good person, addicted to pornography, messed up in the mind. I would manipulate and all this other thing to get my own way. And it didn't turn me into a perfect man, but it turned me into a progressing man. And today I want to offer you that same thing. I don't care how broken you are. I don't care how lost you are. I don't care where you think that God has left you. He's standing right here saying, and come. Would you just bow your head and close your eyes? Not as a religious moment, but just to focus on where you and God are. And if you're in this room and you've still been in control of your life, it's time to release. It's time to let God have control of your life. At Transformation Church, we're about to pray a prayer together. And I want everybody to pray it for the benefit of those who are coming to Christ. But if you really mean this, God knows and you know. Come on, everybody, let's say it together. Say, God, thank you for sending Jesus just for me. For my sin, for my mess ups, for my shortcomings. And today, I ask you to be the Lord of my life. Come on, say this. Change me. Renew me. Transform me. I'm yours. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, listen. There were several people in the last service, and I know there's people in here. If you made that decision and you really meant it, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand. Not to embarrass you, but to celebrate you. This is the day of celebration where we're celebrating 20 years as a church and 4 years under our leadership. And our win is transformation in Christ. And so today, I want to celebrate because heaven is celebrating over one person who made that decision. And we're going to turn up too. I know there's several in this room. So one, if you made that decision, my sister said, my hand's already up. Two, we believe in you. Three, lift your hands all over this place. Come on, Transformation Church.
If God is transforming your life through this ministry, join us in reaching others by partnering with us today. You can give through our TC app or at transformchurch.us/give. Thank you for listening and remember to subscribe to enjoy more messages like this. Now go and live a transformed life.